Hello, I'm Texas Tech Public Media Reporter Sarah Self-Walbrick. The following is an interview with Lubbock mayoral candidate Dan Pope. This interview has been slightly edited for quality, though the questions asked and Mr. Pope's answers are unchanged. Thank you.
You've been our mayor for 4 years now, but let's start with you telling us just a little bit more about you and your background.
Yeah, so I'm a eighth-generation Texan, Texas Tech grad from a Texas Tech family. My parents met here in the 50s. Even though I grew up in Central Texas, I'm one of three boys. We're all Red Raiders. I spent the first 10 years out of Tech with Xerox Corporation. I've lived in different places around the country and moved back to Lubbock in 1994 to open my own business. I brought with me my relatively new wife at that time. We were pregnant with our first child. We raised both of our kids here. Lubbock has been a great place for us. We've been involved in our community, our church. I served on the Lubbock School Board for 9 years. Had a chance to sell my business about 7 or 8 years ago and stayed around to help them transition, but found myself at a point in my life where my kids were gone and I had time to dedicate to our community. And Mayor Robertson decided to run for Congress, and I decided to run for mayor. And ran in 16, and fortunate enough to be reelected in 18. So I guess I would say I'm a, small business guy and believe in the American dream. Been married to Denise for 28 years. I think she feels like it's been longer than that, but that's sort of my story.
Wonderful. I always kind of knew this, but when I was doing my research, it was interesting to see it on a timeline, but less than a handful of Lubbock's mayors have run for a third term. Why are you running again?
Well, that's certainly not to be the longest serving mayor. I think there's always work to be done. I think you can always say that. That can be a bit trite, but I do believe that there are a number of projects that we've begun that I would like to see through. I think about our public safety initiative, the police substations that we're building, and after that, the administrative headquarters we'll build downtown, the municipal court that goes along with that. Those are completely funded. That's in our budget today. I think about our efforts downtown, In many cases, we're not funding it. We're trying to create an environment where people will invest. Buddy Holly Hall, the Cotton Court Hotel, the Metro Lofts, and it goes on and on. I think one that we don't talk a whole lot about is the work we've done on our budget. We've tried real hard to not issue as much debt, to not swipe the credit card all the time, to pay cash, to learn to say no. This year, we'll pay down $108 million in 1 year in our budget. And you don't get there without changing the way you do business. And so we're starting to reap the benefits of that. We've got a great council. Sarah, this job wouldn't be a lot of fun without a good council. That doesn't mean we always agree, but we're civil to each other. And we all pull for Lubbock. And that's not always been the case. And so those are the reasons that I decided to run again.
This election was supposed to happen in May. Obviously, it's been a very eventful summer. Between now and then, how do you think this election is different now than had it happened in May?
Well, I think it's different in a number of ways. I think it's different. The cloud of the pandemic is more significant now than it was in May. We know more about it now. We know of the consequences of it. So that's part of it, certainly. I think I'm a big fan of municipal elections. Not only ours are nonpartisan statewide, and I like the fact that they stand alone in our part of the world, along with school districts. We're not top billing on this election. It's at the top of the ballot. In fact, when people go to the polls, you've got to go at least 24 pages down on that the ballot, digital ballot, to get to our race. So it's very different, you know, and so the messaging around that is, you know, you're trying to remind people about that. But I think it's the right thing to do. I never for one moment thought that the governor was asking us to do something that wasn't correct. And so we did that, and we're sitting here on November, you know, soon to be November, and it's in front of us.
Yeah. I'm interested. I think voter turnout will be very different. Historically, voter turnout is not great for the May elections, at least in comparison to when we have
November to a general election.
So I'm interested to see what that'll look like here in the next few weeks as well, especially with the huge bump in registration.
I think we all are. Yeah, yeah. I think that's great. We want people to vote. I think that's a that's one of the things we cling to as Americans is that the ability to their right to vote. And so I think we'll probably have to my knowledge, the most votes ever cast in a municipal election was the alcohol election. There were about 33,000 votes, as I recall.
I think that's right.
I think the next most votes is somewhere in the low 20s for a mayoral election, maybe Miller Martin one or two. There were less than 15,000 votes in May of 18. There'll be many more than that in our election. We certainly expect some undervote, so some people will not get to our part of the ballot, but it'll be probably the most that have ever voted in a municipal election, and I think that's good news. More people get to weigh in on the decision.
Absolutely. Going back to how eventful and difficult this summer has been for so many people and in your position, at any point have you thought twice about running again?
No. There have been some times in the last 6 or 7 months that I didn't expect. You sort of feel like when you've been around the block as many times as I have, whether it's as a small business owner or 9 years on the school board, 4.5 years doing this, you know, you've been through a lot of budget processes. I don't think you say you've seen it all, but you feel like you had a pretty good, pretty good perspective on how to handle something. And this has been, it's been unique. But no, I no regrets about running again. I love this job. I have the time to do this job. We're blessed with a great team at City Hall. And why would you not want to be leading Lubbock in it as a time when there's so many dynamic things going on in our community? I mean, what's going on at Texas Tech? What's going on in transportation in our community, the job creation, healthcare. I mean, there's so many great things going on, and I think when I evaluate it, I wouldn't have changed my mind for a minute.
If you could talk to Mayor Pope at the beginning of the year, what advice or what would you say to him about the months ahead?
I probably would have said, hitch him up. I probably would have given him a book about the Spanish flu, the 1918. I'm still learning. I was reading this week, after President Trump was positive, not a lot of Americans realized that President Wilson also contracted the influenza in 1918. We've learned a lot. I think I would have said, hey, you think you've seen it all, you haven't.
Going into some other recent things that have just been in the news, a recent KCBD news investigation has led to transparency concerns.
Yeah.
Wanted to make sure that I gave you the opportunity to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we approved a grant for a downtown grant. As you know, we've approved somewhere around 75 of those. It's a situation where the city, through Market Lubbock, makes an investment to go along with a private investment in buildings in targeted parts of downtown and in the eastern part of our community. For every dollar of public dollars we invest, we've seen about, in downtown, we've seen more than $25 in private investment. One of those grants was for a building downtown that's going to house a restaurant that my wife is a minority investor in. I didn't recuse when that grant came in front of us. I should have. It really was not a grant for the restaurant. The restaurateur is leasing the building. He does not. He's not leasing it from himself. He doesn't own the building. Regardless, it was something I should have recused. And so when I realized that, I came out and told people about that. The KCBD story ran after that. I made a mistake, and I've owned it, and it's not going to happen again. But that's really about all I can say about it.
And then after a contentious coffee with the mayor earlier this summer, I was there.
You were there.
With you. I was the only media there that day. Some citizens have expressed concerns about your demeanor and attitude sometimes in those situations. What's your response to that?
Well, that was a tough morning. There's no doubt. I mean, you've been to enough coffee with the mayor to know what the normal tenor of those is. I mean, it's weeds in my alley. It's not picking up my trash. It's my neighbor's got a roof problem he's not fixing. It's a dangerous dog. That morning turned into a bit more of a, it got real loud and pretty contentious pretty quick. It was right after Mr. Bergfeld's disparity report. I'd met with Mr. Bergfeld, frankly, but the timing was a bit coincidental. I'd met with him between the issuance of that on the Friday before and that Wednesday morning that he had a meeting set up. And so I told the people what I told him that day, and I don't think some of the reaction to it was great. If I had to do it again, there's probably a thing or two I would say differently, but I'm going to defend our council and for the work we've done. Somewhere in some of that argument, the position was that we had not done anything for the northern and eastern part of our community, and that is not the case. And my record as mayor, my record as a school board member is one that I'll proudly run on, and my willingness to and our results in North and East Lubbock, and so it goes with the territory, Sarah. I think probably people rarely see me get as passionate as I got that morning, but I am very passionate about our community, and I'm passionate about our council, and so if passion, you know, bubbled over a little bit, then that's what happened, and that's who I am. I can't change who I am.
You've since met with a lot of those people multiple times, is my understanding, in a more one-on-one situation. Would you say that those conversations have gotten more productive over time?
I think so, for sure. Yeah. I mean, there's one of the things about that was odd to me was that I was in conversations as that went down. I was in conversations with leaders of the East Lubbock community about some things we were working on. And so I was a bit caught off guard by people who said, in fact, one of them accusing me of not knowing my way around East Lubbock, which I found to be a little bit, a bit of an insult. I've met with a number of those citizens, more than one time. I stand ready to help members of our community that want to move Lubbock forward in a positive way. And that's northeast, southwest, or in the middle. And that's who I have been since the day in November 15 when I said I wanted to run. And that's where I am on today, on October 8th, 2020.
There are three issues that I asked both Mr. Sanders about and we'll ask you about.
Sure.
We just talked about the first one a little bit, the Lubbock Compact, and this recent movement to preserve Old Lubbock, as they say. Wanted to give you the opportunity to comment a little bit more on that and kind of where you see what y'all have done already in your tenure and your thoughts about going forward.
Well, so I live in Old Lubbock. So first and foremost, I think that's important. I have since I moved back to Lubbock. In fact, I've never not lived in Old Lubbock. When I was in Tech, I lived in Old Lubbock. I don't think of Lubbock that way. I think of Lubbock as all of Lubbock. I believe that our fiscal discipline has allowed us to do things like begin paving dirt roads in this community. There are more than 50 miles of city streets that have never been paved. Our council, to my knowledge, is the first council that ever stepped up to that. And for the fourth year, we're funding that. In fact, we've doubled down on that this year. We'll do at least $800,000. I think we'll do significantly more than that. We're paying for street maintenance in cash. That street maintenance that happens all over our community. We have improved parks all over our community. So we've made investments in parks. Really, all we've done unfortunately, for many of the last years is mowed our parks. We've invested in shelters and benches and barbecue grills. In fact, and on Lake 3, just north of downtown, we worked to create a new, we actually opened up a new lake to our, one. It was one of our canyon lakes that you really couldn't access. And so now we've got a fishing dock there, and it's just north of the Guadalupe neighborhood. It gets tons of use, and I give Councilman Chavez a lot of credit for the idea. But we've continued to focus on all of Lubbock. The hardest part of this job is taking care of what we already have and embracing growth. You've heard me say that before. That's the hardest part of the job. Mm-hmm. All of our work in downtown is focused on the older part of our community. The funding of a neighborhood planning person for this budget this year, with the promise as dictated by this plan 2040, that we'll start in some of our older neighborhoods in the northern and eastern part of our community, which are most at risk. I think our record is strong in that regard, and it's one that I feel proud of.
We're doing this interview in your office. You have a fantastic view of downtown and looking way further ahead because it's Lubbock and it's flat, North Lubbock. What would you like to see outside of your office window this development?
I think, what I think downtown is it's the living room or the den of a community. It's where everyone naturally gathers. And that goes back to cities as far back as we know. That's where your arenas are, your public, your performing arts centers are. That's where your courthouses are. That's where your parks are. And it's where people come together. And so my vision for downtown is one that's looks like our community from a standpoint of it would be relatively young because we have a relatively young community. It would be, all races, all socioeconomic backgrounds. They would live, work, and play down here. They might not all live here, but they would come here on Saturdays to hang out, to shop, to eat, to bring their kids to run around, to bring their dog to run around. So much of getting business to invest in your community, whether they're businesses that are already here or ones that are thinking about coming here, so much of that is dependent on how attractive your community is to the workforce. So we have this great talent pool at Texas Tech and at Lubbock Christian and Wayland, and we've got to keep them here. And the way we keep them here is you have good jobs. It's a bit of a chicken or egg kind of thing, but you've got to have good jobs. And so many millennials and Gen Z, they want to live where they can walk to work and where they can walk to the park and where they can walk to eat or to listen to live music or go to a brewery. And so that's my vision for our downtown, and I think it should be safe. I think that's implied. I think it's very safe today. But we've spent a lot of time. I've been a downtown property owner since 1995. I go to church downtown. I'm a stakeholder downtown, and it's important.
moving on to the second issue that I've asked both candidates about, Planned Parenthood. This has been in the news a lot. We've seen rallies downstairs during city council days, and it's been a hot, hot topic. Where do you stand on this right now?
Well, so there's sort of two parts to this, right? You've got this Sanctuary City for the Unborn ordinance. And I think the if I understand the, you know, the idea is that if we pass that, the likelihood of Planned Parenthood coming to Lubbock is lessened.
Sure.
The ordinance itself, we will be briefed on October 13th, next Tuesday, in executive session. We sent the ordinance outside our local legal department for a couple reasons. One was that it was implied that our own legal department would, city attorney's office might be likely to do what the council wanted them to do. I don't think that's the case, but I think also it's something of this significance. You probably need a different set of eyes. We engaged a firm that does municipal law. That's what they do. That's really all their practice. And you know, so they'll advise us on enforceability and constitutionality of this ordinance. You know, the city charter says nothing about abortion. The law of the land is driven by a Supreme Court decision that's 47 years old, Roe versus Wade. So we'll decide after getting this legal opinion and talking to our staff, we'll decide how we proceed on this. There's a thing or two about the ordinance that make me scratch my head. It makes murder a civil crime. I mean, you don't have to know much about state law to know that murder's not a civil crime. It's governed by the state penal code. I don't think murder should be tried in the same courtroom with dangerous dogs and speeding tickets, and that's what this calls for. So, I mean, so there's some concerns I have about that. But I look forward to getting input on it. As for Planned Parenthood, I don't think it's my job to lead an effort to keep them out of our community. I'm pro-life. I think there's counseling opportunities in our community today for pregnant women. I think we could do more of that. I think we could do a whole lot more on the education side. But the city has very little role in whether or not Planned Parenthood can come to Lubbock. As long as they meet the zoning, you know, they have to work with our building safety people and our environmental people, but we don't have a licensing authority there. That's a state, you know, state or federal, and you know, their reimbursement would be Medicare or Medicaid, and you know, one of those being state, one being federal, and so that's a, you know, it's a difficult issue. I understand the passion behind it. I think we'll take one step at a time, and we'll try to do it in a way that's respectful. That respects the city charter. I took an oath to uphold the city charter and the Constitution of the United States of America, and I'm going to do my very best to act in that way.
Quick answer to a big question: COVID response. Obviously, this is a little different for you because you've been in this for several months already.
Sure.
But where do you see Lubbock's COVID response going from here, since this virus isn't going away anytime soon?
Well, I think we will continue to work towards reopening, reinvigorating our economy, but do it in a way to keeping people safe. And I think we've had a remarkable amount of success in the last 120 days in that regard. Like I said earlier, that doesn't mean that they're not people that are hurting. I'm not in any way glossing over that. But it's test, it's trace, it's isolate, it's communicate. It's as you learn more about it, you tweak and you adjust. We do things differently today than we did in April and March and April, because we know more about the virus today. So it's one of the reasons why the spike in infection among the college kids, as much as it troubles us, we also know their likelihood to recover. If we can keep them, you know, at a distance and with their faces covered, their chances of the spread are pretty small. So we'll stay the course. I'm thankful for our health department and their work. I'm thankful for partnerships with Texas Tech. I'm thankful for Covenant UMC and then our stakeholders in the community.
And then last question, what are your goals if you receive a third term?
Well, I think people should expect common sense leadership. They should expect leadership that's accountable. They should expect that we will continue to exhibit fiscal discipline, that we will provide for public safety, that's job one, that we don't defund police, that we continue to fund LPD and Lubbock Fire and Rescue and emergency management, that we take care of our neighborhoods, that we work on long-term transportation projects like Loop 88 and Interstate 27, and that our goal is to make Lubbock a better place to live and to work and to play, a community that we could all be proud of.